Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 8. Prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikshit saved. Text 42. Tvai me nanya vishaya matir majupate sakrit ritim udvahatad adda gange bogam udanvati tvai me nanya vishaya matir majupate sakrit Ratim Udvahatad Adda Gange Vogam Udanvati Tvai me nanya vishaya Matir Madhupate Sukrit Ratim Udvahatad Adda Gange Vogam Udanvati Unto you, may my Ananya Vishaya unalloyed Mati attention Madhupate, O Lord of Madhu, a secret continuously Ritim attraction Udvahatat may overflow Adda. Directly. Ganga, the Ganges. Iva, like. Ogham, flows. Udanvati, down to the sea. Translation. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea, without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you, without being diverted to anyone else. Purport. Perfection of pure devotional service is attained when all attention is directed towards the transcendental loving service of the Lord. To cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements, like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have the feeling of affection for others, because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feelings of attraction, and so forth, cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. Desire cannot be negated, but in devotional service, the desire is changed only for the service of the Lord in place of desire for sense gratification. The so-called affection for family, society, country, and so forth consists of different phases of sense gratification. When this desire is changed for the satisfaction of the Lord, it is called devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, we can see that it was just to satisfy his own personal desires that Arjuna refused to fight with his brothers and relations. But when he heard the message of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, he changed his decision and served the Lord. And for his doing so, he became a famous devotee of the Lord, for it is declared in all the scriptures that Arjuna attained spiritual perfection by devotional service to the Lord in friendship. The fighting was there. The friendship was there. Arjuna was there. And Krishna was there. But Arjuna became a different person by devotional service. Therefore, the prayers of Kunti also indicate the same categorical changes in activities. Srimati Kunti wanted to serve the Lord without diversion. And that was her prayer. This unalloyed devotion is the ultimate goal of life. Our attention is usually diverted to the service of something which is non-godly or not in the program of the Lord. When the program is changed into service of the Lord, that is to say, when the senses are purified in relation with the service of the Lord, it is called pure unalloyed devotional service. Srimati Kunti Devi wanted that perfection and prayed for it from the Lord. Her affection for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis is not out of the range of devotional service, because the service of the Lord and the service of the devotees are identical. Sometimes service to the devotee is more valuable than service to the Lord. But here, the affection of Kunti Devi for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis was due to family affection. This tie of affection in terms of material relation is a relation of Maya, because the relations of the body or the mind are due to the influence of the external energy. Relations of the soul established in relation with the Supreme Soul are factual relations. When Kunti Devi wanted to cut off the family relation, she meant to cut off the relation of the skin. The skin relation is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the via medium of the relation with the super soul. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing, but seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. That is the way of devotional service. Om Gyanachimidandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Just as Arjuna did, and just as Kunti Devi wanted, we also want to become a different person by devotional service. Arjuna is showing the possibilities, and Kunti Devi is showing the possibilities. How to transform our loving propensity. It's quite interesting that in this section of the Bhagavatam, where the emotions are running high, there is both a plea for the positive and the negative. Kunti Devi begins by begging, please cut off my attachments for the family of my husband and sons, as well as for the family of my father. She's talking about the Vrishnis, or the Yadavas, as well as the Pandavas. The Pandavas, of course, belong to the Kuru dynasty, but out of Dhritarashtra's intrigues, they were separated in name only from the Kurus, and they're known as the Pandavas. As you know from the first chapter in Bhagavad Gita, these family affairs become quite intricate. Mamakam Pandavas Chaiva. What is my group doing, and what are those Pandavas doing? But they're all related. But when our self-interest, our material self-interest is threatened, we indulge in all kinds of intricacies. Look at Kunti Devi's situation. Should she ask for Krishna to stay? Because by Krishna's coming from Dwarka to Hastinapur to be with the Pandavas, the Yadavas are in distress, feeling separation from Krishna. And if Krishna returns from Hastinapur to Dwarka, the Pandavas are in distress. And she's related to both families. What to do? It's like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, I don't know whether winning will be beneficial or losing will be beneficial. Viparitani Keshava. I think we're just going to get the opposite result. I don't see how any good can come of this, whether conquering them or being conquered by them. So Kunti Devi, Arjuna's mother, is expressing the same predicament. It seems that she's caught between a rock and a hard place. Should I beg Krishna to stay? Then my family on my father's side suffers. If Krishna goes, then my sons, they suffer. What to do? Therefore, in verse 41, she throws her hands up in the air. Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi. Please cut my tie of affection for both families, the Rishnis and the Pandavas. A very extraordinary thing for her to say. But she's so determined for spontaneous bhakti. Of course, she's not a Brijbasi. She's some intimacy with Krishna, but she's fully cognizant that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though she's playing the role of his aunt. Her prayer for ever-flowing attraction for Krishna is so moving. It is showing us the full potential of real affection. Srila Prabhupada takes so much care in the purport to point out to us that bhakti is not about the negation of all the essential elements of a sentient being. Love, affection, care, concern. Sometimes in the neophyte stage of bhakti, we're rightfully so caught up in controlling our mind and senses for the first time in our life that we think that bhakti means you've got to be hard and tough and don't acknowledge any feelings. You may have some kind of Buddhistic conception of bhakti. You just tolerate and you deny and you repress, and that's what your future is going to be. Maybe lifetimes from now, we can be part of Krishna's entourage and express real emotions. So in the beginning, in the neophyte stage, we don't know how to handle affection. We're scared because material affection has got us into so many entanglements. So in the beginning, we focus on putting up the walls. But gradually, as the process of bhakti takes over, we start to realize what is bhakti bhava, the emotions of being a devotee. We start to taste what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami expresses, thank you, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the associates of Lord Chaitanya would be overwhelmed with ecstasy just thinking how they are servants of Lord Chaitanya and the servants of Lord Chaitanya's servants. Nityananda and Advaita would sometimes just spontaneously jump out of their seats, crying out, "We are the servants of Lord Chaitanya. We are the servants of Lord Chaitanya. We are the servants of his servants." Then they would sit down quietly. That is emotion. And Kaviraj Goswami goes through a whole chapter to point out that all the associates of Krishna have this feeling that they are servants. Even the gopis feel we are his maidservants. As we progress in bhakti, we start to become overwhelmed by the emotions of being a servant. In the beginning, we don't know that. Our emotions in the beginning are so tied up with control and material enjoyment. Because as I explained the other day, in order to enjoy materially, there has to be some degree of effort for control. You might use a more milder term, as I pointed out, influence. How to win friends to battle, how to win friends and influence people. Influence society, influence your friends, influence your spouse. For the most part, you're trying to get what you want. Even when you give to others, you're hoping, I'll receive more. This motivation even shapes our approach to devotional service. If I do this for Krishna, if I surrender this to Krishna, what am I going to get back in return? We're really trapped in what Prahlad Maharaj calls Vanik Seva, merchant consciousness of devotional service, in which we want to make deals. We always want to make deals with Krishna. Okay, Krishna, I've done this for you. I've been controlling my senses for 2 years now. What are you going to do for me? I've got bad health. I have some problem. Krishna, remember the little bit of service I did. Change the situation. So we're accustomed to that kind of business deal, even when it comes to affection and so-called love. At preaching events, I often quote words from a song most persons have never heard, so I don't entangle their minds. But I always remember it since I was a young teenager. When you give more than you get, you're in danger. You may find that you're in love with a stranger. When there's nothing more to be gained, don't keep holding on in vain. Start packing up your heart. When you find out that you're losing, it's time to get on moving. This is business. And everyone accepts. Yeah, that's the way it is. I was speaking about it at a program at the Mantra House on Thursday night. Everyone accepts this is the way it is. You know, like, that's the reality. You've got to be on your toes. You've got to be savvy. You've got to be shrewd and sharp if you're going to enter into the game of relationships. It's like a football game. There's offense. There's defense. So that is our conception that we're bringing into bhakti. Yet, we hear these purifying prayers by Kunti Devi. What is she saying? You heard in the very beginning of her prayers, Vipadasantutashasva. Let the calamities that we've been through happen again and again. Because when those calamities are there, Krishna is more present. In other words, the real calamity is hitting right now. Krishna is leaving. If by the presence of calamities, he's more present with us, let it be. So now, even though the battle of Kurukshetra is practically finished, the victory is assured, Krishna is about to leave Hastinapur for Dwarka. Kunti Devi and the Pandavas are inventing calamities. This is Bhakti Yoga. How to keep Krishna's association. Krishna, how can you leave us now? It's a dangerous situation. There's so many kings angry at us because their side lost in the battle of Kurukshetra. Don't you see that, Krishna? You can't go now. And she's considering, what will be life without Krishna's personal presence? Kevayam namabhyam. Just like the name and fame and abilities of a body disappear when the spirit soul is gone. Similarly, if you leave us, we're powerless. Everything becomes inauspicious. It's only because of you that everything is prospering in nature. Only because of you that the world looks bounteous and nature is providing. It's all because your lotus feet are touching the earth. But if you go, what will happen? All that will change. Actually, we're not the doers. You have executed all the activities of Kurukshetra and so forth yourself. And now you're leaving. What will become of us? What will become of us means not that we want you to solve the material situations. We simply want you to stay. But then she realizes the intricacies of her situation, as we pointed out in the beginning. She's related to the Yadavas in Dwarka. And, of course, she's related to the Pandavas as their mother. So whose good fortune should she be praying for? She's caught between a rock and a hard place, just like Arjuna expressed in Chapter 1 of Bhagavad Gita, sometimes titled The Yoga of Despair. And, of course, Arjuna finishes his presentation to Krishna saying, Govinda, I shall not fight. And then the whole Bhagavad Gita is spoken to transform Arjuna's decision. And in that way, as Prabhupada writes, the fighting was there, very poetic. The friendship was there, Arjuna was there, and Krishna was there, but Arjuna became a different person by devotional service. So are we afraid for that to happen to us, to become a different person by devotional service? We have pride. This is Kali Yuga. I know me. I know what I need. I know the best way for me to be Krishna conscious, and I'm just waiting for Krishna to realize that. I'm waiting for him to understand that for me to be enthusiastic in devotional service, he needs to give me most of what I want. I'm willing to concede that not everything I want is proper, but most of it is. And so if Krishna would kindly arrange most things to my vision, I would be enthusiastic in service. Isn't that clear? I would do more service if things happened my way. We want that to change. And Queen Kunti's prayers give us the opportunity for begging for pure devotional service. That begging begins in the morning during Mangal Arati. We offer the Sri Guru Vashtaka prayers, begging to assist the parampara in service to Krishna. Those prayers can have such intimate depths. Sometimes I explain, back in the early days of book distribution in Los Angeles, 1972 or so, there was a bit of a controversy. The Sankirtan devotees. Do you have any Sankirtan devotees here? Actually, in New Dwarka, everyone's related to the Sankirtan mission. The Sangatana devotees were going around saying, Nikunjayuno Ratikeli Siddhaya Yayali Bir Yukti Apekshaniya. The spiritual master is always making tasteful arrangements for Krishna's consorts to meet him in the groves of Vrindavan. So they were going around saying, this verse applies to the Sankirtan devotees because they're making tasteful arrangements for conditioned souls to reconnect with Krishna. So many devotees thought, this is way over the top. This is fanaticism. I know about this because I was filing the letters to Prabhupada. I used to live right across the street there. And I was also filing the letters from Prabhupada. So I got to see both sides. So they wrote Prabhupada. And then he astonished everyone with his response. Yes, this is true. So there you see, from 4:30 in the morning, we're crying out for some precious service to Krishna. And then the Tulsi prayers. They're so intimate. I don't know how much you're thinking about what you're saying when you sing the Tulsi prayers. I don't know if you fully understand what those aspirations are about, but one day it will click. And now we have Kunti Devi's prayers, praying for her attraction to constantly flow toward Krishna without being diverted to anyone else. Try to feel the depth of her bhakti emotions. She's speaking as a pure devotee, and she's also speaking as a mother. You can see her human side. I've got sons, I've got family. I've got family on both my husband's side and my children's side, my father's side. I don't want to get entangled in all that materially. But then again, you point out another aspect. Her family, they're all devotees. And Krishna's in her family. Should she cut off relationships with even Krishna because he's her nephew? So she's just like holding a diamond up to the light and showing you different facets. Material attachment, spiritual attachment. She certainly doesn't want to rid herself of the attachment for devotees. She's praying to Krishna, I don't want to be influenced by skin attachment. In this way, she's setting such an exemplary example of the subtleties of bhakti. There's the negative. I don't want material attachment. Cut it off. There's the positive. Krishna's in my family. I want pure devotion for Krishna. And then you have Srila Prabhupada educating us that there must be affection. There must be attachment. The question is what to do about affection, attachment, desire. That is the superlative arena of bhakti. The perfection of desire, the perfection of attachment, the perfection of affection. I've been meditating on the last part of the purport. Please think about it. Prabhupada is speaking about the relation of the soul to the soul. Now we all want to relate to others in a real way. We want to love others. But we're being taught here that the relation of the soul to soul can only be established by going through the super soul. Just like spokes in a wheel relate to each other by going through the hub. You can just visualize a bicycle wheel, the spokes and the hub. So similarly, we want to love others. We all have that desire. We want to show affection. But it can only happen realistically by going through the Supreme Soul. So then, Srila Prabhupada gives us a very interesting metaphor. Seeing in the darkness. You think that you're seeing someone in the dark. But actually, you cannot see them clearly or truly until the light comes on. So you're actually seeing the person through the medium of the lamp or the sun. But we don't think about it that way. We think, oh, I'm seeing. But your seeing is dependent on a medium that allows illumination. But you can fake it. In the dark, you say, it's just all up to me and my seeing power. And if you're honest, you'll admit you're helpless. You can be fooled. You can think, this is someone I know, and it turns out it's not, because you're actually not seeing. You don't have that medium to see. There's no lamp, and there's no sun. So Prabhupada's pointing out, seeing in the darkness is not seeing. It's said very simply, and we may just blow right past it. But it's a very key point in our understanding how to love. We can't love anyone directly, just like we can't be the direct enjoyers. This is a main lesson that we have to learn. We're so hardwired to be the direct enjoyers, when actually the only way, as parts of Krishna, that we can enjoy is by tending to Krishna's pleasure. That's why we have that simple example. We repeat again and again, but do we think about the depths of this example? The hand cannot enjoy the food directly. The hand may try to take a globjimin and squeeze it and absorb the juice and get pleasure. It doesn't work. Everyone knows. You have to allow the hand to bring the globjimin to the mouth, and then the whole body can be nourished. Similarly, we're the same. We have to bring the enjoyment to Krishna. And because we're part of Krishna, then we can enjoy indirectly. But this sounds, diluted, doesn't it? Like you have some juice, carrot juice, apple juice, and it's pure, you squeeze it from some carrots or apples, but then you add a quart of water. So we think indirect enjoyer means dilution, right? Direct enjoyment, yes, that's the pure potency. Right? That's our problem. So we need this repeated hearing about Krishna to revive our constitutional position as indirect enjoyers. And then we start to understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who demonstrates that Krishna himself wants to be an indirect enjoyer. He wants to be a devotee. And Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that all the incarnations of Godhead would rather forget their Vishnu Tattva nature and be bhaktas. And here we are moaning, oh, when can I be the enjoyer? When can I be the controller? But the supreme controller and enjoyer, Swayam Bhagavan, and all his expansions and incarnations would rather be devotees. That's the mystery of Chaitanya Leela. Not only would they rather be devotees, but they'd rather be devotee distributors. So we've got some problems. And Kunti Devi is highlighting those problems. And she's teaching us how to truly love. We can only love someone by going through the Supreme Soul. Seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. That is the way of devotional service. To love someone means to consider what are Krishna's interests? What is best for Krishna's pleasure? Then we can actually start to taste what is the unity of all living beings. First, by considering they're different from the body and mind, and secondly, by considering their interests in relation to the supreme interest. So the bhakti love goes much deeper than material love and affection. But we're so affection-starved that we're worried. If I become too spiritual, what about my emotions, my need for love and affection? What will become of me? In this way, impersonalism influences our devotional service. We have impersonalistic fear. If I focus too much on Krishna, I won't be able to have loving exchanges with others. I won't get the love I need. I'll become old and no love. It's horrible, isn't it? 360 and to not have loved. To be alone. Oh, no. To not even have tried to love, even though I failed. To not have tried. Oh, no. These fears terrorize our hearts because we think that by advancing in bhakti, I'll lose touch with love and affection. So Kunti Devi is showing you both sides of the issue. She's praying to Krishna, subdue my material affectionate side for my family members. But then again, my family members are devotees. But what I want is that everything is clarified by my attraction constantly flowing towards you. That will clarify the whole situation. Just like when the sun rises or when the lamp goes on in the house, you can see everyone clearly. So you are the main thing. You're the fulcrum. You're the central point that allows for affectionate relationships with everyone else. Therefore, let my attraction be constantly drawn to you, just like the Ganges forever flows to the sea. So she's setting the stage now for her son Yudhisthira's monumental request. My dear Krishna, please stay a few days longer. Because of Yudhisthira's pure love, he's able to make that request to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even though Krishna, as you all know, is completely independent, he's influenced by Yudhisthira's pure love. And he does stay. He delays his departure for Dwarka for a few days. So in this first canto of Bhagavatam, you're starting to see glimpses of the Brijbasi's dealings in love and separation. What Lord Chaitanya demonstrated so wondrously. He demonstrated the peak of attachment for Krishna, which is not possible for ordinary living entities. Nevertheless, he's presenting the path, how to always think of Krishna in separation. And you're starting to see glimpses of that in this first canto as Krishna is preparing to leave Hastinapur and enter into Dwarka. Do you have any questions? Yes.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for another wonderful class. This one comment about the not being able to see in darkness. Also, you can't love in darkness. You can't see in darkness. You can't love. People trying to love so much under the modes of nature, but they can't. Also, you can't love in darkness.
You would dare tell someone in Kali Yuga they can't love in darkness? Only a pure brahmachari like you could get away with that. In Kali Yuga, you know, what do they say? The nighttime is the right time to be with the one you love. Anything else? Yes.
So Queen Kunti is fully cognizant that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are others in the Leela that are cognizant briefly that Krishna is supreme, Mother Jasoda and Arjun. But it seems that Queen Kunti is always knowing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And does, my other question is, does she have a place in Chaitanya Leela?
I don't remember exactly. There's Bhavananda Roy, of course, whose sons are said to be the five Pandavas. But one thing about Mother Yashoda, see, it's very subtle in terms of her knowing Krishna is God or not. And finally, the conclusion for both her and Nanda Maharaj is, he may be God, he may not be God, it doesn't matter, he's our son. That was Nanda Maharaj's statement. Uddhava, you may call Krishna whatever you like. Your Lord Krishna, he says that. You'll read in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Uddhava, your Lord Krishna. But he's my son. So no matter what the Brijbasis see Krishna do in terms of extraordinary things, their pure, spontaneous love without any opulence is not disturbed. Whereas like Arjuna, when he saw the universal form, his friendship was shaken. But the Brijbasis, no matter what they see, they process it somehow with the help of Yogamaya that now he's just our child Krishna, our friend Krishna, our lover Krishna. They have debates about it sometimes. Well, Gargarishi said that he would be Narayan? No, like Narayan. The cowherd boys would discuss also. Did you see what Krishna just did? Maybe. He's a demigod. That's it. He's a demigod. And you know what that means? We're his friends. We're demigods too. Because we're all equal. So that is Vrindavan. There, even when they see Krishna do amazing things, their rasa of conjugal or parental or friendship is never disturbed. Not in the least. But Kunti, she's part Aishwarya. So therefore, she's fully cognizant of his opulence. Even when Krishna bows down to her because she's his aunt, she knows he's a Supreme Personality God. Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj, for another amazing, wonderful class, as usual. During the class, you gave the example of a wheel with a hub and spokes. Mm-hmm. So for the sake of the question, if we could imagine like a huge beach ball with a hub in the middle and spokes going out 360 degrees in all different directions. So if somebody would be able to go inside that or have access to all the spokes, as you run your hand, you know, any two spokes towards the center, your hands are going to come closer to each other. So the question is this, that in devotional service, as devotees come closer to Krishna, automatically they're coming, this is the theory, I mean this is the question, they're coming closer to each other. Is there any need to make any separate effort to come closer to devotees, or is it sufficient to just try to come closer to Krishna as the spokes?
The two go simultaneous. You can't separate one from the other. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tadvidi Pranipatena. If you want to know the truth about all these yajnas and processes I've explained, you approach my representative. And then in the next verse, he gives the results of your properly going through parampara. He says, you'll see all living beings, they're in me, they're mine. Yajgata na punar moham. You won't be in illusion anymore. That's the negative. The positive is you'll see all living beings perfectly in relation to me. So seeing Krishna and seeing others as well as yourself, it's all simultaneous. In the neophyte stage, it's hard for us to see that. So we're just focusing on Krishna, 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 as if Krishna exists without his parts and parcels. Therefore, a prakriti bhakta, a third-class devotee, is defined as one who simply focuses on the deity in the temple and doesn't know how to relate to devotees.
So coming closer to parts and parcels is also part of coming closer to Krishna.
Yes, we have to do it in an authorized way. We have to see others with the light on and love with the light on. How much time do we have? I don't, you know, it's getting near 8:30. And you have breakfast and so much service to do at New Dwarka. Haribo! Thank you very much. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yasumati Nandana Prajabadana Gara Gokula.